This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Be sure and check out our website, HaystackHelp.com, as well as SeniorResourceOfColorado.com. And both of those are great websites. You can find wonderful companies that we have checked out. Make sure we are bringing you the very, very best. Well, the very best in our opinion is with us today as well. Mr. Kyle O'Dell from O'Dell, Winkfield, Roseman & Ship. You can check out their website, owrsfirm.com. On Sundays, Kyle and I were just talking. You can catch him on NBC here locally. And Kyle does a segment there each week on retirement planning and all the different subjects that go in with that. And with that, we'll welcome Kyle. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Scott.
Good to see you.
You too.
Again, O'Dell, Wingfield, Roseman & Ship, and check out their website, owrsfirm.com. The number for a free consultation is 303-780-7350 with Kyle. And we're going to talk a little bit something we've talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but Social Security. And, boy, you want to take a big piece of this pie, and we talk about how this whole retirement planning thing is a lot of pieces of different things. This is a huge part.
It is. It is. And, you know, and this Tuesday, tomorrow, it will be the 83rd year since Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act and put everything into place. And so when FDR created this program, he wanted a program that would truly last, you know, over time and you know, really be there for the disabled, the poor, widows, orphans, and so forth. It wasn't necessarily there to really be our retirement, but that's what it's evolved into, is a big piece of our retirement. Because, you know, families back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, you'd have, you know, a husband and wife. And, you know, it's still the same today, where us guys, we're the ones that tend to pass away first. And when that happened back then, a lot of families had pensions, and or the husband just worked until he couldn't anymore and had an income coming in. And so that Social Security was there to help replace the income that the husband generated or the pension that he had and so forth. So it was there for those widows and orphans, because life expectancy, guys would, you know, live to be 55, 60 years old, work up to that point, and then kick the bucket.
Sure.
Just didn't last long. So now it's certainly evolved. So when it comes to claiming and calculating Social Security, it can be confusing. You know, there are a lot of different ways to do it. We, you know, we hear about all the, you know, I have families come in all the time just thinking that, well, Kyle, I'm gonna take my benefit when I retire, or I'm gonna take it at 65 or 66 or whatever, and they just base it off of the little bit of information that's out there. There's not a lot out there, because the only thing we've ever been given is just those doggone Social Security statements.
Sure.
And that's it. And you know, with that, we used to get them every year. Now, in I believe it's been a little bit since I looked this up, but I think once you get to age 60, you start getting those statements every year. If you're under age 60, then they send them out every 5 years, something like that.
Okay.
And so we don't get them every year. But you and I were talking about it before we went on air, Scott, that, you know, those statements can be misleading, that not everyone understands how they work. So we'll hit on some of that today. But, you know, there's so much to it. And like you said, this is kind of just a piece of the pie. But it's a huge piece of the pie.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got a family that has, you know, $40,000 a year, husband and wife, you know, that amount of money coming in from Social Security, well, that'd be the equivalent of approximately $1 million lump sum of cash that's invested in generating income off of it. So, you know, it is a piece that you certainly want to get right. You need to get it right, because if you mess it up, you're probably going to leave, you know, a single person or a married couple, $100,000 or $200,000 on the table.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned pensions. Just curiosity question. That seemed like that was a good deal for us people,
right,
if you had a pension. Why did companies get away from having pensions, you think?
The cost and the risk.
Okay.
Two of them. Two reasons. So, you know, you look at it, it's simply an overhead expense that companies had. You know, if you're an employee there and you know, you might have an employer that matches a portion of your 401k, and maybe they put in an extra $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 per year. But in a pension, to create that kind of income, you know, they were spending more. Maybe they were spending $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 per year mm-hmm. in today's dollars to fund a pension for you down the road to give you a guaranteed income. So that cost, and then, you know, when you sign the dotted line as an employee, and now I'm obligating myself as an employer to contribute, to say, I'm going to put $10,000 a year into this pension fund for mm-hmm. you, Scott. Well, what if down the road I can't afford to do that, and you're working for me at ABC company, but XYZ company is right next door, and they do the same thing, and they're going to say, well, your company's taking away benefits, and the other one over here, we will provide that benefit. You're going to hop over there.
Right.
Right? So, you know, it's the cost, the risk, the obligation, all that. They got away from that. They went to 401ks. So rather than, you know, retirement plans that your employer was funding, now it's a retirement plan that you fund, and they'll throw in a few bucks to help out and make it look a little bit better. But, you know, that cost was weighing those companies down, that's for sure.
Sure.
And we look at the auto industry, I think it's a great example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they provide all, the, you know, these great pensions they have over the years, mm-hmm. and we look at how hurt they've been financially because of all these obligations that they have, and part of it is that pension system and so forth. And it's a great benefit for the workers, but it does weigh down on the company.
Sure. You know, I also asked you before the show, when you talk with people, where it seems like before they came to you, and if they haven't been with another financial planner, where they got most of their information. And you said a lot of times just from a friend or a relative that's just maybe gotten their Social Security recently, so they tell them what they should do.
Right.
Probably not the advice you want to just bank everything on, right?
No. You know, you think about, here's how I would take financial advice. Don't do what your friend is doing, because it's a lot like your health. If you go to a doctor, Scott, and I go to a doctor, you have a completely different health situation, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, whatever,
right.
than I do.
Just
because you're taking a Tylenol or taking something doesn't mean I should be taking it.
Right.
Right? Financially, we should apply those same principles where you have your own financial situation, I've got my financial situation, and they're much different in terms of our assets, our taxes, our liabilities, our life expectancy, all the risks that we're taking on. You have a different lifestyle than I've got, and so forth. There are a lot of factors that we want to take into this.
Right.
You know, when it comes to, you know, what age is your spouse? What's the age difference? Do you have a pension? There are all kinds of things that we need to take into account. So just because your brother-in-law takes Social Security today doesn't mean that you need to.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing, message to really get across today, is everybody's situation is different. And that's why it's critical that you have this, you know, free consultation that you give away, to sit with someone and spend it, an hour, hour and a half of your time, mm-hmm. an hour and a half of their time, just to figure out, you know, really where they are and what's best for them, because there's probably no two plans that you've ever done that are identical.
No, they're all different. The conversations are different. You know, identifying what risks do you have, what do you want to accomplish, and so forth, and we're going to design a plan, you know, based on that. So I look at what I do as more of a chef. We're going to design something that fits exactly what you're looking for, versus me being a line cook where everybody comes in and gets the exact same thing.
Sure. Once again, Kyle O'Dell is with us. OWRSfirm.com is their number, and 303-780-7350. So, you know, we've mentioned a lot of times there's 567 ways, yep. you said to do that. So, needless to say, boy, you can't go through and break down every one of those, you know, in time that we have here. So, what do those conversations look like when you're sitting with someone to try to figure out, you know, where to get started with all that?
Yep. So, what I find, Scott, you know, many people, you know, they leave tens of thousands of dollars on the table by claiming too soon or not coordinating those benefits with other assets and their spouse and what their spouse has going on. So there are a lot of things we want to take into account there. You know, are you and your spouse close in age? Is there a big age difference? What does your health situation look like? What does the health of your spouse look like? I'll give you a real quick example here. You know, if I take someone that has, let's say, a lot of assets, and what I mean by that, let's say seven figures in just cash, investable assets, and so forth. if I look at their situation, a lot of times they have a tax situation where down the road they're going to have a tax problem a lot of times, or an issue. They're going to have a thorn in their side in terms of they've built up all this money in 401ks and IRAs, and they're living on Social Security and maybe a pension, but they're not withdrawing from those IRAs. And what's going to happen is when they get to 70 and a half years old, they're going to have a required minimum distribution come out of there, an amount that they have to withdraw. And when you add that on top of Social Security and other income, now you have more income coming in than you want. Now, most of us would sit here and think, well, sign me up.
That's a good problem.
Yeah. Right. It's what we refer to as the good problem. So don't complain about it. But you're going to have a tax issue, you know, in that you're having to withdraw more than you want, meaning that you're having to have a bigger tax bill at the end of the year than you want. So with that, what we need to do there a lot of times is if we're going to retire at 65, so between 65 and 70, maybe we need to spend some of those assets, spend that 401k down a little bit, and then flip Social Security on so that we don't have quite the tax problem. Now let's go to the opposite end of that. Let's say I have someone that doesn't really have, that really hasn't built up a lot of assets, and now they want to retire and turn Social Security on. Well, just like the first person, we rarely want to take Social Security before what's called our full retirement age, which for most of it's going to be between age 66 and 67. There's almost no reason to ever take your Social Security before 66 or 67 other than health. If you have poor health, the doctor said, you know what, you've got an issue here. I don't expect you to live right. 6 months or 3 years or whatever that may be, or your life expectancy is just much shorter, then that's certainly a different conversation. Outside of that, in general, there's no reason to take it before that full retirement age because you need to get that benefit built up. So if I look at that situation and say, okay, I've got someone that has not built up a lot of assets, again, they should not take it early. Retirement is not an age. It's about your financial health. Mm-hmm. So maybe we do need to work another year or two to get those guaranteed benefits and increases in Social Security to build that up a little bit more. And so whether you have a lot of assets or very few assets, there's almost no reason to take that benefit before your full retirement age.
Right. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio, Money Beliefs versus Money Realities with Kyle O'Dell. If you've got any questions, our lines are open, 303-477-5600. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Social Security and give you some great things to think about. Once again, Kyle offers a free consultation. Give him a call, 303-780-7350.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Scott Watley from my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Listen, I've trusted my pets to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center for over 11 years, and you can too. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or hey, just toys, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. Open 7 days a week for your convenience, and they're located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more at LoneTreeVet.com or give them a call, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Tell them Scott sent you.
You were injured in an accident. You went to the doctor and you thought your insurance would cover it, but that was before you realized how the insurance company actually works and before you knew how long your pain would really last. So now you're stuck with a bunch of bills that you can't afford, and the nagging pain has been keeping you up all night, making you feel like you're going to lose your mind every day. You are not alone. There is an answer. Call Flesh and Beck Injury Attorneys. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh and Beck Injury Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if Flesh and Beck can help you get the compensation that you deserve.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We're here with Kyle O'Dell. And Kyle, before we go any further, you had a little giveaway you wanted to do for us. So tell us a little bit about that.
We do. You know, at our office, Scott, we've got a Social Security booklet that really answers a lot of the basic questions about how Social Security works, you know, whether, you know, if you're still working, how much income can you earn if you want to take your Social Security benefit, you know, what are the different ways to file and so forth. It really covers a lot of the basics. It's a 9-page booklet.
Okay.
And I really, you know, I give it to some people. Some people will come in my office and say, Kyle, hey, you know, I've got a bunch of questions. I'll hand them that booklet, and they'll look at it for 5 minutes, and they'll be like, Kyle, this answered all 8 questions I had. This is it. This is what I was looking for. So it's a fantastic booklet. We're going to give away 5 of those today.
All right.
So anybody that calls our office, they can call 303-780-7350, and we'll give you that booklet. Just call and ask for either Peggy or Kelly, either one, and they'll get your name and email address, and they'll email that over to you.
Good deal. Appreciate that. All right, now let's. You know, we've talked about the husband and wife outliving the husband, probably, or women generally living longer. So when you sit down with a couple, and maybe the wife's older than the husband, which mm-hmm. happens sometimes too.
Right.
I mean, what is all that decision-making going on there, you know, with a married couple?
Yep. There are a lot of factors in here. And, you know, and Social Security, you know, it calculates payments to cover your expected lifespan. For men at 62, the claiming decision is especially important for men that are married, because they tend, you know, women tend to outlive us guys. So, unfortunately, men too often make the retirement they take that retirement benefit that looks best now, even if it reduces the future benefit for their spouse, you know. And a lot of times, you know, if we just look at it in general, a lot of times, you know, maybe let's call it more than 50% of the time, the guy has, you know, men have a greater income maybe than their wife. Now, not always, that's certainly shifting, but I'm just talking in general terms here. So, you know, when we look at that, a lot of times the guy will want to take that benefit, and he'll tell me, hey, Kyle, you know, I want to take this because what if I pass away tomorrow? What if I pass away in the next couple of years, you know, that I didn't get anything out of this? Well, the benefit that we want to max out, if it's the guy's in this case, we want to max his benefit out for the spouse. What he needs to understand is it's not for him. It's for his wife, because on average, women outlive men by 14 years. 14 years. So if we look at a husband or wife or a couple out there, it doesn't matter who, the benefit that we want to make sure that we really focus on to get the most out of and so forth is the higher benefit. Who has the higher benefit in the relationship? That's the one we want to focus on, because the surviving spouse is going to end up with that benefit. The smaller benefit typically goes away. So, and on average, like we said, you know, women outlive us men by 14 years. So that's really the one to focus on. That's one of the biggest mistakes, you know, that I see, is turning on those benefits early, especially the larger benefit, if someone activates it too early.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, a mistake here, I mean, you're talking, like you said, tens of thousands of dollars.
It can be.
People can actually lose.
Yeah, you know, when someone comes in my office, we'll run a Social Security analysis for them. And, you know, I'll run it. You tell me how and when you want to file. Great. You know, and we'll run it based on, you know, all the factors that we look at it. And usually for a married couple, it's $180,000 to $200,000, $220,000 difference over their lifetime in the Social Security payout, you know. And, you know, there are all kinds of ways to file. You know, if you're married, but let's say we have a spouse that didn't work really, you know, that in terms of a job, but maybe they stayed home and they took care of the kids, which is a full-time job in itself for sure. So, you know, when in that case, you know, when you get to age 66 or whatever your full retirement is, then you can file for half of your spousal benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, if your spouse is getting $2,000, then approximately you can get about half of that, which is $1,000. So even if you didn't work, you can retire or you can claim that spousal benefit. You know, Social Security, it's based on your top 35 years of earnings. That's what goes into the formula. Okay. I hear a lot of different opinions out there about how it's calculated, but
that's the truth.
The Social Security Administration doesn't use an opinion to make the calculation. Right. It's a math formula, and that math formula is based on your top 35 years of working. If you did work, what you need to do is the Social Security Administration is they're looking for the number of that you worked for 10 years. They're looking at 40 different quarters, technically, is what they're looking at. Did you work 10 years in your life?
Right.
If so, then you would qualify for a benefit. And there are a lot of benefits. You know, it depends on your situation where if you were married and divorced and you were married for at least 10 years, you may have an ex-spousal benefit that you qualify for. If your spouse passed away, there's a widow benefit. So there are a lot of different benefits that you might, you know, qualify for. But when I look at Social Security, financially, the chief risk today comes from not dying too soon, but from living too long and running out of money. Mm-hmm. We're living longer and longer and longer. You know, all my great grandparents all passed away in their early 70s, and now their kids, which are my grandparents, they're all late 80s.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Happy, healthy, running around, you know, all that. So, you know, we're living longer and longer. So the chief risk that you have is living too long and running out of money, not dying too soon. So, and since everyone's circumstances are different, there's no set answer to the questions of when I should file for one specific person. I can't give a blanket answer to everyone. So what I always encourage everyone to do is arm yourself with knowledge, learn about your options, make sure you understand the benefits and the requirements of the program, including disability benefits, survivor benefits, spousal benefits. There are a lot, like we talked about, for a married couple, approximately 567 different avenues for filing. So Social Security, it's been a successful program for many years and, you know, has generally met FDR's original goals and provided security and prosperity for, you know, a wide range of citizens over the years. And Social Security promises to continue being a valuable part of our economy. You know, and that's probably one of the big misconceptions also that I hear all the time is, well, that thing's, what if it runs out tomorrow? Well, there's more money going into it than going out.
Right.
It's not set to have any issues or problems for another approximately 16, 17 years. So, you know, for that generation that's already retired or right on the cusp of it, you know, I really wouldn't worry about it. You know, and to really use this program correctly, you have to have sound knowledge of the program and of your own circumstances. You know, and always remember that the Social Security Administration, they're always available for answers. You can always set an appointment with them. But an important piece to understand there, when you set an appointment with Social Security Administration, their employees tend to be very good at what they do. They're very knowledgeable.
But they're not going to do what?
They're prohibited from giving advice.
Right.
So they can't say, hey, Scott, you know what? Based on your age and your assets and your health and all these other factors, this is actually when you should file and this would be the difference in benefits that you would receive and all that. The only thing that they can do is they can answer a lot of your questions. But they can only say, hey, Scott, based on today, mm-hmm. here's how you should file.
Right.
That's it. You know, they can't look at all your other assets.
Let's be honest. They really don't care. They're just
probably not. There are 40 other people that they're going to talk to today.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So used properly, Social Security is a key part of your own security. You know, so you've got to start it off on the right foot by understanding why and when and how to begin taking it, because it's such a vital part of what you're going to do over your retirement.
Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really discuss this before the show, but I want to touch on this real quick because I think anytime we talk about seniors, we talk about Social Security, we talk about going to websites, there are a million scams out there.
Yep.
And, man, people have to be careful. You know, we always say, you know, there's a lot of IRS scams where they call and say they're going to arrest you and all the different things.
Yeah.
First of all, Social Security office is probably never going to call you to verify your Social Security number or any of that stuff.
No.
So is there any little tips that you've got when it comes to, you know, scams like that can happen?
You know, I heard about one yesterday. I'm not going to name the person's name, but yesterday when I was at NBC, one of the employees there, I was talking with him, and you know, he had told me that about a situation the night before, on Saturday evening, where his parents had locked themselves out of their house and called a locksmith. The locksmith said, so he came out and got him in the house, but then said, and this is an elderly couple, and he has some dementia problems and issues and things, so it's a really tough situation. He said that, look, you need to change all the locks in your house, and I'm going to do that for you right now, and I'll do this under the table, so I won't tell the company, you can just pay me cash. And he charged them $1,000 to change out the locks on their house. Whoa. Took advantage of them. You know, and then, of course, their son finds out about it and tries to call the company the next day, and the phone number won't work, none of this stuff, right? I mean, it is a really sad situation. You know, families, unfortunately, get taken advantage of in so many different ways out there. And that's why, you know, as a firm, we always operate under that fiduciary standard, because that's a license I hold. But it's, you know, yeah, someone calls you to say, hey, I want to verify some information, whether they say that I'm from the IRS, or I'm from the Social Security Administration, or I'm from the Better Business Bureau, or anything. If they're wanting any information from you, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, right? Over the last couple of years, I've had a few calls, and I'm going, okay, I'll verify it. Yeah. You go, what's your phone number? And I said, no, verifying means you tell me, and then I'll verify it.
Yeah.
And man, that conversation lasts very short.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Please don't ever, just always have your guard up and understand that it's better to be, I mean, I'm a very optimistic person, Scott, and I know you are too, just your personality, right? But there are times where we should be maybe a little more, I don't know about pessimistic, but just have our guard up, and understand that, unfortunately, it will amaze you what people will do out there for money to try and take advantage of you. So always have your guard up, and just don't ever give out any information via email, text message, phone, anything like that. Verify that person before you give it to them.
Absolutely. Once again, Kyle Alford, if you just joined us, a great Social Security kind of a little pamphlet. It's going to answer some great questions about Social Security. He's giving away 5 copies of that, so call his office now. Ask for Kelly there at 303-780-7350, 303-780-7350, and they will get that to you. So, and again, the website is owrsfirm.com. Last minute, I mean, we've been doing this show a long time together now, and man, it seems every day you love what you do. And I think that's important for you to be a benefit to us. But I mean, what do you love the most about it?
You know, I think the best part is when somebody comes into my office and, you know, and they're on that cusp of retirement and they're, you know, think, Kyle, we're coming in to know, do we have a green light? Can we retire in 6 months or next year or whatever that is? You know, have we saved properly? Have we done the right things? And to be able to say, you can retire, and giving them permission to go spend some money. That's the biggest thing. And even when I do that, they still have trouble doing that sometimes. Yeah. So, it's kind of funny the conversations we have sometimes about, no, you don't understand. Let's take this a step further. You need to go spend some of this money, or we're going to have a tax problem or whatever that may be, right? We need to go spend some. So, you know, I love it when I can, you know, sit down with a family and just verify and say, yeah, you know, you've worked hard all these years. You've saved all this money. Where do you want to go travel?
Right.
You know, and one of the things we've started creating, put together with a lot of our clients, is a travel club, because we have so many clients that love to travel domestically here and RVs, you know, and they love to meet up with other couples and things, you know, and or travel and do those, you know, riverboat cruises and things, and hooking them up and putting them together. Just say, hey, you know, here are 3 other couples that are going in August. You know, you guys ought to talk and, you know, meet up or go on the trip together, because they're just like you, you know, and just watching them just going and having fun, you know, and getting postcards from them that, you know, if they're off in Italy or wherever they're at. And that's the fun part.
They bring you a T-shirt.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Kyle, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott.
Again, Kyle O'Dell, 303-780-7350. Call now. Get your free copy there. Well, the Social Security questions and things that can help you out. And Kyle offers a free consultation. 303-780-7350. We'll be right back.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
This is Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage. I'm reaching out to you to help answer questions regarding the value of a reverse mortgage. You've heard both sides. I'm dedicated to helping seniors. The reason, like you, I am a senior and a veteran. Our wants and needs are different when compared to years past. Give me a call at 720-895-0500. Remember, take aim. Call me, Steve Hurley, at 720-895-0500. NMLS number 243200. Regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Tired of walking into your local gun store and seeing the same old thing? Hey, let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. You'll find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. Rampart Firearms is also a great stop for all of your hunting and shooting needs. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol. From predator hunting to your next big game trip, Rampart Firearms is located in Douglas County at the foot of the Rockies. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe in Sedalia. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and hey, you'll only pay 4% tax on your purchase. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Or visit them at rampartfirearms.com.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Well, it's time to go to our good friend, Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems. You can check out his website, integratedhealthdenver.com, and his number, 303-781-5617, 303-781-5617. And Dr. Stedman is kind enough to offer our listeners for Haystack Help a free consultation, and not just the matters that we talk about each week, but really for anything. But check out his website, and he does a great job there, and you'll really see all the different things that his office can take care of you, for you. So, Dr. Stedman, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Hey, Broncos looked all right a little bit. So we got a win anyway. Maybe we should talk about ulcers. Yeah. Thought Case was colorblind there, but what, three times? Yeah. That's a little bit of a tough one, but good game, good win for us for sure.
Yep.
I noticed a post on Facebook from you, and you were talking about Crohn's disease, and man, there were a ton of comments and questions about that. And of course, I've heard the term, and I guess there's probably a lot of things that can be intertwined with this, but I thought, hey, you got a lot of good response there on Facebook, so I thought we'd kind of talk about it a little bit today. So, you know, I think many people are confused when it comes to differences between the inflammatory type bowel disease that we've talked about before a little bit, Crohn's disease. And then just the other day, and it's so weird, my dad told me, I guess Dr. Phil or somebody, they were talking about, or some doctor show, he saw that ulcerative colitis. So all of this kind of fits in together, but is different.
You know, basically, we can almost title this an autoimmune condition for the okay. digestive tract. You know, so, you know, and I think that's the thing that's really fascinating is, and I get asked this all the time, you know, it's like if you post something about ulcerative colitis and they go, hey, do you treat IBS? And another person says, do you treat Crohn's disease? And, you know, and all these things like that. And you know, we actually work with all of those because at the end of the day, a lot of these digestive issues that are really common, like IBS, IBD, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, celiac, I mean, they're all an autoimmune condition. And so the answer really becomes yes. And it's almost say like, I guess the program or the protocol or the treatment plan or however you want to kind of label it, really becomes very similar for each of these cases. Mm-hmm. Because you're really dealing with the immune system as really kind of the major culprit for all of these.
Sure. So when you say the IBD, and I mentioned inflammatory bowel disease. Is that really a term used for kind of a group of the bowel diseases that cause inflammation?
You know, what we're seeing out there is a lot of people are being diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome or irritable bowel disorder. So the short for that is IBS or IBD. You know, so we see a lot of people being diagnosed with this. And it's almost becoming, and it feels this way, that it's kind of like, well, if you have, you know, diarrhea or constipation or GI issues, well, we're just going to dump you into this category of IBD. So a lot of people are now starting to come in going, I've been diagnosed with IBS or I've been diagnosed with IBD. And it's just your gut is irritated. So then the question becomes, why do you have irritation of the digestive tract? And so then that's where you have to dig deeper and try to figure out, is it something like food related? It could be a simple food issue. It could be maybe a bacteria overgrowth or a parasite or a fungal infection or a yeast infection or candida overgrowth. But there's something that's really irritating the gut. And so when the gut gets irritated, it's like, you know, get out, get out, get out. And so if you eat something that your body doesn't like, then it's going to flush it out, which then gives you diarrhea. And then once the diarrhea goes away, then sometimes people go into constipation. And then you eat that again, and you go back into diarrhea. So you have this alternating constipation, diarrhea, don't know what's going on, your gut's irritated. And so the doctor says, well, it sounds like you have IBS.
Right. Huh. Now, you mentioned, I just want to pick one word there. You just mentioned parasite. We don't hear quite very much about that, but is it more common than we think of people picking up different parasites?
It is very common, way more common than what people think, and especially when you travel outside the country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's always a good chance, and I think kind of the thought process that most patients have been told is that, you know, if you caught something like, oh, you'll be fine in like 4 to 8 weeks, and it's like, well, that's probably true, you know, for a lot of people, but there are also a lot of people that it doesn't go away in 4 to 8 weeks. And for some other people, maybe it did go away, but while you're harboring it or while it was living with you, it kind of created some issues. And maybe those issues turned into a food allergy, or maybe they turned into IBS and you just had to get your digestive system kind of back under control. And I think there's this kind of notion that if you get a parasite or you get some kind of infection that everything goes back to 100% perfect, and that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sprain your ankle, it doesn't always go back to 100% functioning as it was before.
Sure.
And if your digestive tract gets injured through a parasite or something else, I mean, sometimes it just needs some intervention to help it along and, you know, quote unquote, kind of heal the gut up and get the lining back under control and get your immune system to kind of settle back down.
Right, right. So when we talk about, you know, helping someone with this, are we saying that we can, in some cases, cure IBS or the irritable bowel disease stuff, or Crohn's, or are we looking more at managing?
Both. You know, both. There's definitely, you know, we've seen a lot of patients, again, that have been diagnosed with IBS, but then you find out it was a food allergy. You know, so maybe they're reacting to dairy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you take dairy out of their diet, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, all their symptoms and problems go away. And we even had this, we had a case of somebody who is a marathon runner, you know, and she was having a lot of digestive issues that was actually impacting her ability to run long distances. And seriously, I think we saw her for like 2 weeks, cleaned up her diet, changed a couple things, and she's like, thanks, I'm good again. We haven't seen her since.
Wow.
You know, and so she had been, you know, kind of from doctor to doctor and told all these different things. And it was a simple food allergy, you know, that we just identified, took that out of her diet, gave her some stuff to get everything back on track. And now she's great. You know, so in that case, you know, she would probably say she was cured. You know, but then there's some other people that the IBS or IBD can be due to an autoimmune condition. And with autoimmune conditions, those sometimes kind of fall along that same concept as managing. You know, as long as you're doing certain things the way you're supposed to, then you don't have this immune flare-up that then impacts your digestive tract.
Right. So when we talk about, and we'll, let's take that Crohn's disease, because that was in your post, and like I say, got a lot of reaction there. So is there a specific part of that GI tract that it seems to affect?
So a lot of times, like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, those tend to be in the lower digestion. So I think we kind of talked about in the past, like SIBO, the small intestinal right. bacterial overgrowth, which kind of tends to be more up underneath your rib cage. You know, that's just that's that bloating that people can get up in there. And when you kind of get into to Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, those tend to be in the lower digestive tract. So your colon, and that's where you get the ulcerative colitis in that colon. You can have little ulcers, and that's your ulcerative colitis. In Crohn's disease, they call it like kind of a cobblestone appearance. So a lot of times they'll diagnose those on biopsy, and there's a couple different blood tests to double-check that as well. But Crohn's is more of an autoimmune condition that is attacking the lower digestive tract.
Okay. And then most of the times then the symptoms are like you're talking about, kind of the abdominal pain and diarrhea and fever and all that, right?
Yep. So you still get a lot of those kind of autoimmune types of flare-ups. So somebody might be doing really well, and then all of a sudden they're having these immune flare-ups. And I think the problem with those is, you know, for some people, the flare-ups can last a long time. And autoimmune flare-ups or immune flare-ups aren't always like a day or two, but they could be a week long or 2 weeks long or 3 weeks long. So if you have this chronic, you know, digestive issue or chronic abdominal pain or chronic diarrhea or something like that, you know, over time it leads to a lot of other health issues. So you definitely have to get under control. But I think that's what people don't realize is that with autoimmune conditions, you can have a flare-up that can last a couple of weeks. So if you, let's say you're reacting to corn and that kind of flared up your autoimmunity, and if you had corn on the cob, you know, 1 week and you had corn on the cob and, you know, 2 weeks later, well, mm-hmm. you could have had a 5-6 week flare-up. And then it gets super confusing. You're like, I don't understand why I'm having all these issues. I'm eating really healthy, but maybe the 2 times that month you had corn on the cob flared you up for the entire 30 days. You know, so that's where it gets really weird and confusing and challenging and sometimes even frustrating is trying to identify, okay, what the heck is causing this? But
right.
I mean, that's your mechanism.
Wow. Dr. Shane Steadman's our guest, Integrated Health Systems. Once again, that website, integratedhealthdenver.com. And his number is 303-781-5617. Now, one thing I was reading about Crohn's this morning a little bit, it said it may also affect skin, eyes, joints, and liver. Have you seen that?
Yes, and this is where it gets – so when we talk about autoimmunity, and that's what I say, this can almost turn into an autoimmune talk. But
right.
when we get into an autoimmune condition, your body – so your immune system won't only just attack one tissue. So there's kind of a term out there that's called cross-reactivity or cross-mimicry. So if you have an issue in the gut that your immune system is going after, like a Crohn's or an ulcerative colitis, it may also be impacting your skin or other tissues or your joints. And so you can have multiple autoimmune conditions taking place, but everybody's focusing on the Crohn's disease. Now, the other scenario is that you could also just have a lot of inflammation. So if your immune system is attacking your digestive tract, then you can have all this inflammatory processes that are taking place, and then that leaks into other things. So a lot of people know when they're inflamed, their joints hurt. Or when you get sick or you get the virus or you get a flu, your joints hurt.
Right.
Well, if your immune system's attacking your digestive tract and creating inflammation and creating an immune response, well, then your joint can hurt, your skin can be kind of itchy or achy or sensitive, you can have brain fog, you can have energy issues. It could lead to a whole lot of other health issues.
Yeah, and another thing I read, it said Crohn's disease can also increase the risk for colon cancer, which is why people living with a condition must have regular colonoscopies. You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
okay.
You're dealing with the immune system
yeah.
at the end of the day. You know, so anytime you're dealing with that immune system, and if it's kind of being funky enough that it's going after you,
mm-hmm.
then there's always suspicion of what else is it doing? and then that's in cancer involves that whole immune system.
Sure.
So, when you kind of dig deep into cancers, it's like, now you're talking about the T cells and B cells and natural killer cells and all these different types of soldiers in the immune system. And if your soldiers are turning against you and they're doing some weird things, could that lead to cancer? That's a big possibility, and that's what makes it scary. So to always make sure you're checked and safe is important. And then you got to find out what's making your immune system so irritated that it's going after you now. Because if you don't, then these risks just are always sitting there.
Sure. And real quick before our break, this is something, again, where we always point out, if you're not feeling well and something's not right with your system, don't put it off getting in to see you. Because you never know at what stage you can catch something. And if you keep ignoring it for year after year after year, it may be something after a while you can't help.
Absolutely. And sometimes those smallest symptoms, those are the scary ones, and not to be kind of like the sky is falling, but those are always the things that you want to look into and make sure, I'm taking care of business so it doesn't turn into something later on. Because most of these problems aren't usually an overnight
sure.
dysfunction. They're things that have been going on for a while, and people use those magic words, maybe it'll go away, and it really doesn't go away. It just gets worse and worse, or it turns into something else. So it's better to be safe than sorry, anytime.
That's probably the favorite male phrase. It'll go away, right?
Absolutely.
Dr. Shane Stedman's our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about after the proper diagnosis, if it is determined Crohn's disease, and what are some of the ways Dr. Stedman goes through in helping you with that. Our lines are open. If you've got any questions, 303-477-5600. Dr. Stedman will take your call as well. We'll be right back.
Medicare. There are so many questions. What to enroll in and what coverage will be best for you? Figuring out when to enroll. Where can you go to get all of your questions answered? That's easy. GIA Insurance. Since 1984, Group Insurance Analyst has been helping folks just like you. No gimmicks or fees, just honest help and guidance. Avoiding the most common mistakes in Medicare can make the difference between having good financial and health security or not. Perhaps the biggest mistake you can make is assuming that your health insurance will stay the same when you turn 65. Don't wait. Call the Medicare Help Team at GIA Insurance, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Or stop by at 9195 West 44th Avenue in Wheat Ridge. GIA Insurance is an official Haystack Help Registered company and a member of SeniorResourceOfColorado.com.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. We work with your insurance company, and you can rest assured that your roofing project will be finished on time and on budget. We understand the difficulties and stress that damage to your home's roof can bring. Let the highly trained staff at M4 Roofing and Gutters come out and give you a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project. Call today, 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. Shane Steadman. Integrated Health Systems and integratedhealthdenver.com is the website, 303-781-5617. So, Dr. Steadman, again, we'll probably spend a few shows going through some of these different deals, but, you know, once you make that diagnosis and you figure out, okay, it's Crohn's, and what are some of the different things? Are we talking about antibiotics? Are we talking about, you know, steroids? I mean, what are we talking about doing to getting people on a healthy path there?
You know, I think in the kind of traditional medical approach, you know, definitely steroids can be beneficial, I mean, because they can calm down that immune system. And then a lot of times they'll use some different medications to, again, alter the immune system. That's really kind of where a lot of these medications will come into changing the immune system so it's not attacking the tissue or the body. Kind of in the non-traditional approach, one of the things I recommend from the very, very beginning is you have to change your diet. And the reason why we talk about that on the show, but in this case, it's one of the things because all too often it could be a really simple piece that is really not being looked into. So probably the top five foods, or maybe we'll just do four. So okay. Make it really simple. But the top four foods that people should probably, you know, eliminate out of their system would be wheat and dairy, corn and soy. Those are probably the top four to just take out altogether. So a lot of times we'll hear patients, and actually this happened recently where a patient took out wheat and they're like, well, that didn't do anything. So then they put wheat back in and then they took out dairy and they're like, well, the dairy didn't do anything. And I'm like, well, you could have been reacting to both. You know, so if you take out one, but you're still reacting to the other, then you're going to have the exact same symptom. So it's better if you're going to do wheat and dairy to take them both out. So in this case, like, these are the top four that we see patients react to. So corn, soy, wheat, and dairy. Mm-hmm. So you take all those out and you say, okay, does that make me feel better? Because it could be sometimes a simple food allergy response. Then, so we always change people's diets. The second thing that we always work on is we always try to give some different herbs or amino acids that actually can help with the digestive lining. So your lining actually regenerates about every 72 hours. And so there's actually fuel sources that you can use to help with that regeneration process. And one of them is glutamine. So a lot of people actually utilize glutamine, which is a fuel source for those they call microvilli, the cells that are along the digestive tract. So you use either glutamine, which is a fuel source for the cells in the small intestine, or you can use what's called short-chain fatty acids, which is a fuel source for the large intestines. So basically, these cells have been beaten up and beaten up and beaten up, and you say, okay, let me pull the bully back. So we put him in detention. So now I got to, like, you know, care after the cells that have been beaten up on, and so we give them some fuel. We say, okay, we're going to take away the insults, and we're going to give you some fuel and help you regenerate a little bit quicker. And each time you regenerate, hopefully those cells are healthier and stronger so that you can make the junction. It's a nice little barrier. It actually protects you. Mm-hmm. So you can make that junction and that barrier nice and tight so that you're really protected from the outside world. And the only thing that's crossing through are the little nutrients and the vitamins and the things that you need to live. So it really helps with absorption, too. So those are like the two things that we do on every patient right from the very beginning.
Right. A couple of words as I was reading this article preparing for the show today, and I've never heard this term. It said immune modifiers. Yep. What does that get into?
So immune modifiers, so it kind of goes back to this concept of the autoimmunity. So you get into medications. Medications can be immune modifiers. So they're modifying how the immune system is firing. So basically, that image that everybody that's driving, if you have this image that it's like a teeter-totter, so you have one side up and one side down. So when one side becomes too dominant or overzealous, then they can create an autoimmune condition. So to give an immune modifier can actually, what they do is they use it to calm down that part of the immune system that's overfiring or it's hypersensitive. So they call them immune modulators. You can do the same thing in nutrition. There's actually immune modifiers as well. And people are actually familiar with these like echinacea and golden seal and astragalus, and those are all immune modifiers. So they're things that alter the immune system. But there's also immune modulators like fish oil and vitamin D that actually can balance out your immune system. They're called immune modulators. So you got modifiers and modulators.
Wow. Man, we're gonna get into a lot with this, aren't we? I mean, this and I don't know how you can go through all this in diagnosing. I mean, to sit with someone and get the different deals and then try to figure out which way to go with treatment. Man, I can see why you do all the training around every weekend to other docs. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. So, again, we're going to do some shows on this over the next few weeks and cover a lot of these different things. And so when we talk about ways, got a couple of minutes left here, that want some treatment, what are you looking at? Are you looking at usually a few months of treatment? Are you looking at sometimes a year for treatment? It just each one's independent.
You know, it's definitely each one's individualized. That's always a piece that we've learned. But there's definitely a standard. And I would say kind of the standard that we've learned is about 3 to 6 months of trying to figure people out. Because when you get into immune modulation, like I said, there's herbs that can modulate the immune system. So one herb, for example, that can modulate the immune system, the teeter-totter. So if I say teeter-totter instead of immune system, green tea extract actually modifies the immune system to one teeter-totter, and actually golden seal or echinacea modifies the opposite side. So when you look at immune herbs, golden seal and green tea extract are actually on the opposite sides. So sometimes patients actually give us this answer, and other times we've got to kind of figure those things out with patients, like which one can we use to modify the immune system and to support it, and then which modulators can we use, like fish oil, and should we do like a higher dose or a low dose, or is vitamin C better? So that sometimes will take a couple weeks, and then you've got to get those reacting foods out of their system. And even some of the research shows that it can take, you know, up to like 4 months for some of those foods it can take almost up to 4 months for the immune system to calm down from some of those food allergies if they're pretty significant.
Wow. All right, Dr. Stedman, man, great information. We appreciate it, and we'll dig into all these different conditions here in our next few shows. We appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Okay. That's Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems. Check out the website, integratedhealthdenver.com. And listen, don't put up with feeling sick. Dr. Stedman can probably help you out. Give him a call. It's a free consultation, 303-781-5617. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com. And our helpline is always open for you, 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Hope you have a great day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.